Welcome on in to Sports Talk, our Wednesday, July 30th edition, breaking down what we saw at Saints training camp today. And, you know, Bobby, it was decent cloud cover for most of the day, but I think I sweat more today than any of the other days so far.
Well,
there was something in the air.
All I know is there was something in the air. The air was thick. It was humid. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a little pep in the step. They're going to be inside. It'll be
tomorrow's like paradise.
It'd be like a dome atmosphere.
Right.
And you know what I can remember in the OTAs and minicamp? You know who's been outstanding inside? Tyler Shuck.
Dun, dun, dun.
So that might be a good thing. Tyler Shuck, now you want to be able to play in any environment, outside or inside, cold, hot.
Yeah.
Heat index, 110, 115. Oh, I'm in air condition. No, who's against ideal weather to be able to perform at the highest level? I'm all for it, like Irvine, California. I mean, it gives you a little pep in the step. That's when it all of a sudden it feels closer to like football weather. They're going to be in Irvine. I think it's going to be like a fall in October in Louisiana. So they might all of a sudden, oh boy, it seems like we just starting training camp. And they're ready to roll, and so be interested to see what's going to happen in the preseason game against the Chargers. I'm excited about tomorrow's practice, and then they have the day off on Friday because you know they can't practice too many days in a row because collective bargaining agreement. But then they're going to go
Saturday Sunday
full pads. I'm excited about that, even though they're not practicing on Monday. I'm going to be here to talk about what happened on Saturday and Sunday. I'm excited about that. Before you know it, the first preseason game is going to be here.
Right, next Sunday.
And looking at tomorrow night being the opening of the NFL and the Hall of Fame game, this is an interesting text to kind of educate us. And I like this text from 5143. Bobby, the Saints should be there next year at this time for the Saints Hall of Fame weekend in the game. You know, as the Chargers and the Lions come tomorrow night, and you know why? It makes sense. Because Drew Brees should be a first ballot Hall of Famer next year. Well, hell yeah, that makes sense.
Have Saints representation in the Hall of Fame game.
Without a doubt. But I would be shocked. If that's the case, I don't know this texter, if it's, I guess it's right. I don't know. I'm just trusting them.
That makes sense, yeah.
If Drew Brees is up for the Hall of Fame,
he's getting in.
He's getting in first ballot, right. and the Saints, hell yeah, we should be in that game. So I would think next year at this time, we'll be getting ready for the Saints playing in the Hall of Fame game at Tom Benson Stadium.
Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, the official title of it.
Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. Yeah, I remember the initial investment. That's good to look into the future. And the promotion, because you always say Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. And I want to say the initial investment, I mean, Greg Benson could text me or whatever or tell me, or Ms. Gale, I want to say to get those rights, I don't know if it's continuous or whatever, the upgrade with the stadium and all that, they paid like $10 million. And I don't see, but how time flies. Well, what was that, about maybe a decade ago?
On November 24th, 2014, it was announced that Tom Benson would be donating $11 million
to
the Pro Football Hall of Fame, $10 million of which was just going into renovating the stadium.
Okay, so I remember recalling that, so I was a year off. So 2014, so it's 11 years instead of a decade.
What you got, Charlie?
Yeah, ESPN's Adam Schefter had this a couple months back, guys. The first time eligibility for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025 includes, obviously, Drew Brees, as we're just mentioning, Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay. Oh, wow. One of the greatest receivers ever. Smartest and greatest. Who hates Larry Fitzgerald?
No.
I mean, come on. That guy, like, on and off the field. Remember, he'd always have his dad on?
Right.
He was covering the Minnesota Vikings?
Right.
No, he was unbelievable. No, talk about an outstanding citizen. I don't know if they get better than Larry Fitzgerald.
Not one of those diva receivers at all, that's for
sure. Hell no. Ultimate team player, one of the greatest Cardinal players ever.
Some other guys on this list, I think those two, obviously, bank them first ballot Hall of Famers easily. Frank Gore on this list, the longtime 49ers running back. Jason Witten, the longtime tight end for the Cowboys on this list. Phillip Rivers, former quarterback of the Chargers.
Phillip Rivers might have to wait because he's kind of – how many Super Bowls Phillip Rivers won?
Zero.
Zero. But the longevity, you know what he's a Hall of Famer at? Making babies. Yeah, I don't want to say he has about six or seven kids.
Right.
Phillip Rivers got a bunch of kids. I think he lives in Fairhope, Alabama. He's coaching the high school team.
And definitely known as one of the best trash talkers at quarterback that I've heard of.
Phillip Rivers is a football player, and everyone loved him because he ain't backing down. He ain't punking out.
Right.
He is talking smack on both sides of the ball. No, whether he was young, older, whatever. No, Phillip Rivers is going to be a Pro Football Hall of Famer, I think. And he had that funky sidearm throw kind of thing. But he's a winner. He's a competitor. But not first ballot. But eventually, you know, that's Drew Brees, like Fitzgerald. Who else, Charlie?
Other guys on this list are like LeSean McCoy, Shady McCoy, Julian Edelman, the longtime Patriots receiver.
Tom Brady made him.
Greg Olsen, longtime tight end at the NFL level. Alex Smith, Dez Bryant. So I think realistically, like Fitz and Drew Brees are the two.
So wait, Charlie, when you saw Alex Smith, the quarterback with the 49ers Chiefs?
Right.
I was a poor man to Alex Smith. No, I don't think he's a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
No, I agree. And so no, I think that's two guarantees first ballot, but then it kind of becomes the question is, you know, is Frank Gore a potential first ballot Hall of Famer? I think he's kind of borderline. I think he is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, right. But
just
not
because
first
of
ballot.
The longevity and, you
know, unbelievable longevity, right.
Yeah,
from
absolutely.
From University of Miami. Frank Gore was a beast. I'm going to tell you, Frank Gore, you talk about like Chris Ivory and Kyrie Robinson. Or knock a snide bubble, run your ass over.
Oh, ridiculous body he's got.
Frank Gore was like that. So, no, you better pack a lunch if you're trying to tackle him. So, no, I'm a Frank Gore fan. But now, when you mention Charlie Alex Smith's in the 49ers Hall of Fame.
Sure.
But Pro Football Hall of Fame, I would say no. Now, we made him into a Pro Football Hall of Fame. We lost that damn playoff game in 2011.
Ooh.
You remember that? We can run around. Come on. That was the greatest Saints team ever. Even better than the Super Bowl winner, 2011, with a new greatest show on turf.
If your sports office could had ears, the things I've seen and heard with you in there watching games has been ridiculous.
That game, to show you how good we were that year, we at San Francisco, we have five turnovers.
Pierre Thomas
gets knocked out by Deontay Whitner, a snide bubble, and it was a cheap shot. He knocked the crap out of him. That was a good play. But we have five turnovers. We lose about 17 points in the second quarter. On the 5 minutes, we take the lead twice. Come on, Greg Williams. We got to stop him. Malcolm Jenkins got beat by Vernon Davis. Remember that corner route?
Oh, yeah, that hurt.
It was like third and forever. Like, come on. And Alex Smith had a couple of runs. So we made Alex Smith into the Pro Football Hall of Famer that game. But I think overall, he's a 49 Hall of Famer and had success before Pat Mahomes with Andy Reid with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So Alex Smith's legit to be in that conversation, but I don't know about a Hall of Famer. I would take, because his career, I think because of the player and what he had, the supporting cast, I think Phillip Rivers, I don't know if he is.
Over Alex Smith.
Yes, Phillip Rivers agree. Over Alex Smith as a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Agreed as well.
Taking a break on Sports Talk, folks. When we get back, we'll delve into our Sound Bank, brought to you by First American Bank. The Cajun Cannon and I had a sit down with defensive tackle Colin Saunders. You'll hear that right after this on WWL.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Gelder, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, hanging out with Saints defensive tackle Colin Saunders. Man, going into year seven, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling young as ever. You know, I'm ready to get to it, though.
You know, a number of fans, they asked me, I said, well, I'm asking Colin Saunders. He'll know. Are we going to be able to stop the run? Because, you know, actually, that talking earlier to you, you know you can't be one before last against the run. And when you're giving up 4.9, 5 yards run, that's unacceptable.
Absolutely.
So, in your opinion, what could I tell him if I'm sharing? Is it, you think, the additional personnel in the scheme?
Yeah.
Because, you know, because at one point, it wasn't that long ago, we were pretty good against the run.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, I think, honestly, the scheme will be very, very good for us. You know, moving to a more of a 3-4 type of scheme, you get a lot of one-on-ones. You know what I mean? And when you get the one-on-ones, it's almost like, you know, if we can't rely on our guys beating the one-on-one, then we shouldn't be in the NFL, period. And so, you know, I think we're going to have a lot of one-on-one blocks with the center in the nose, with the guards and the three techs and then the edge setters and the tackles. And then obviously we got really big, strong guys on the edge. They're going to be able to cut it in half to where you can't just keep stretching out. And I think we got space eaters in the middle to where we're going to be defeating our one-on-one blocks and getting those tackles. So I think that obviously with the scheme and then obviously adding DG and Bull, Jonathan Bullard, they're great run stoppers. Obviously, DG, I mean, he's had, I don't even know, like 250 tackles in the last like 3 or 4 years. And so that shows you how much production he has. And I think that he'll be a great addition. And like I said, the scheme, it lends really well to stopping the run because 3-4s, you can pretty much do whatever you want to out of it.
So how do y'all approach this aspect of I guess from a national perspective, maybe under the radar, not getting the respect, mm-hmm. is that like, hey, well, we just got to go play the game and just prove it on the field.
Absolutely.
Is that, yeah.
Absolutely. It's almost fun being, you know, ranked the worst because it's like, yeah, I don't expect nothing of us anyway. So why wouldn't we go out there and prove everybody wrong? And then me personally, I've always been a prove you wrong type of guy anyway. You know, I never went to the big schools, never had the big offers and, didn't know if I would be drafted or anything like that. And so my whole life has been about proving people wrong. And I love to do that. Honestly, it's kind of a weird little kink I got to prove people wrong.
Sure.
So I definitely, you know, I think this year is going to be a fun one because, you know, when you're already counted out, the only thing you can do is show people wrong.
Yeah, and how you in adversity handle that. I went to Northwestern State University in Louisiana, played double digits. I didn't go to LSU. You're from St. Louis. You didn't go to Mizzou.
Exactly.
You went to direction of school, Western Illinois.
Exactly.
So they'll find you wherever you're at.
Exactly.
You just got to take advantage of that situation.
They say what they say, the cream always rises. So, hey, if you got it, you got it. And if you don't, you don't. They'll find you. They find talent. So, I'm just lucky and blessed to have gotten the opportunity. But, you know, I can't stop. It's year 7 and I'm still proving it. So I just got to keep on doing it.
Now, are you taking the wait and see approach right now with Coach Moore as far as, you know, there's no fullback on the team. Or maybe be in a scenario situation. Yeah. Depending on the game situation, obviously. But I know one day you'll probably let them know, I played a little running back in my day.
No, I've not taken the wait and see. I've taken the go tell them right now approach because I definitely, as soon as he came in here, I let him know because we actually got our old running back coach back, Coach JT. And I, he was the guy who put me on the offense 2 years back. And then last year we got away from it because we got, a whole new coaching staff. But now he's back. As soon as I walked in the door and I saw him, I said, "Hey, you know what time it is." And so, we'll see. We'll see. I don't want to speak too early, but I definitely I think it might be a good chance that I can get some more offensive reps.
So, what would be, I guess, the highlight of your career? Now, I remember as a player, you take it 1 year at a time, but you were trying to get double digit. But if I get 10 years and you had 7, that like a highlight, that had to be like unbelievable. Whenever you get an interception, and especially in your backyard, right there, was that like, whoa? This would you went to sleep probably the night before. You have those kind of dreams. Well, if that ever happened, but it happened. It's a reality to you.
Yeah, no, it was that game in general was. It was a lot of emotions going on. Being there, a lot of my life has happened in Kansas City. You know what I mean? So, I that's just how it is. When you're coming back to a place that you've been, I was there for 4 years, and just even riding past old stuff, you get the old feelings. And so, I was ready to go into that game, and then for that to happen, it was almost like out of a storybook. So, but it was fun. I had a lot of fun reconnecting with those guys because, like I say all the time, I make really strong connections with my teammates. Love all these guys and the Saints. Still love a lot of those guys on the Chiefs, man. And that's just the type of guy I am. I like to, but when we get on that field, though, I'm going to compete. I'm going to compete for sure. No matter who my friend is, offense or defense, it don't matter. I'm going to compete. So, but it was a good time for sure.
So who do you attribute your outgoing personality, your well-spoken? Is that from your mom or that, because, because not everybody, and you tell it like it is. And so where, when you look back, how you raised, you inherited that from, your grandma?
Absolutely. So, I come from a family of broadcasters and teachers and stuff, So my mom is definitely, you know, he thought I was well-spoken. You got to talk to her, but she's a talker for sure. And then also I would attribute, well, I guess also my mom, because of the school district that she got me into, you know, back in St. Louis where I lived at. I lived in what you want to call the hood. I mean, keep it real. You know, I lived in the hood. But my mom made sure that I went to the better schools, because if I went to the schools that was around my house, I don't know where I would have been at right now. So she made sure that I got into the better schools in Parkway School District, which is actually one of the best school districts in the country. And you know, got there, got a lot of public speaking classes and stuff like that, and media training and stuff like that. So, you know, that's kind of where I can contribute all of that to. The football skills, my dad, though.
Okay, the combination.
Great mix.
Is the team, and I know yourself, you're probably looking forward, you know, to have a break in camp. I know you probably wish maybe you were going against another opponent, but that'll be the preseason game against the Chargers. But how do you think about the opportunity to go back to Irvine? Was that nice what y'all did last year and then going into this year? Seems like when the weather's, you got a little pep in your step, you can push yourself out here. Yeah. But no excuse in Irvine.
Yeah.
You can't say, dealing with the heat or anything like that.
That's why they say California is so expensive, because you're paying for the weather, man. So, but no, I actually had the liberty, the opportunity to train. I trained coming out in Irvine. And now I train in Westlake Village, right over there near Calabasas. And that's why I train there, because the weather is perfect all the time and stuff like that. So, yeah, definitely no excuses. You go out there, it's almost 75, 80 every day. You know what I'm saying? Good humidity levels and all of that. So it's always fun to get out there and get some work. And then, you know, obviously a change of scenery. Just, you know, to refresh the mind even.
Right.
It's not always about the body being refreshed. Sometimes about the mind and the psyche being refreshed as well. And so getting out there is always a good time, a little change of scenery. And then going out there for a little while and coming back home, it makes coming back home even better. So, you know, obviously we could stay here for the whole time, but I think the coaches do a great job of mixing that in, because you don't want guys to get lethargic and, you know, always just doing the same thing every day. So I think that they do a really great job of, you know, mixing in that Irvine trip.
Being the veteran that you are, how important, because you've been on different type of teams, from a confidence standpoint, that y'all get off to a great start.
Yeah.
You know, the Cardinals are coming to the Dome.
Yep.
The crowd's going to be all into it. It's the first game, opening game and all that. How important that's going to be, because, you know, all of a sudden you get the snowball rolling in your favor, and then you get that confidence that you need to propel during the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that confidence is key in anything, obviously, but especially in playing in NFL football, because, you know, and that's, there's different types of confidence as well, because you know, obviously you want to win every game, but sometimes you can take a loss and still be confident because of how you played, you know, and it might come down to a last second type of thing, and they just were fortunate enough for something right to happen. So confidence can go, confidence go up after a loss. Confidence can go down after a win. You know what I mean? Like, because
we were lucky.
Yeah. We were beating somebody 40 something, and then it ended up 35 to 40. You like, how did they come out? You know what I mean? So confidence can go either way with a win or a loss. And so I think that, you know, just making sure that you learn what you're supposed to from every game. Honestly, that's been what's kept me around for these amount of years. Obviously coming from a smaller school, you know, there's no guarantee that I'm going to be here after year after year. So just having that confidence and like I said, playing into your strengths, and, you know, learning what you're good at and going out there and executing it, I think that builds the confidence. And then you just got to go out there and give it all and try and get the wins.
Colin, thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate you joining us off practice, and good luck this season. We look forward to seeing you.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Bing.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been talking all about Saints training camp. Today's practice session, to help us break it all down, Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also WWL's digital content producer, will share his training camp notes. Bobby's Notebook, brought to you by Rouse's Market, celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. Well, Jeff, told the cannon it wasn't that blazing of a sun coming down on us. That wasn't like following us around. We had a little bit of cloud cover, but man, oh man, it was a sweat fest today.
Yeah, it got warm. It was a weird day. Usually it just stays hot all the time, but it seems like it cooled off a little this morning just to tease us. and then it got right back to it. But no, we survived.
Yeah, what was,
I think we're good.
What was hotter, though, at least the QB play today was pretty good. We saw some long balls.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest difference today that we haven't seen over the course of the first week of practice was deep passing. You know, it had become kind of apparent because we did see deep passing at OTAs and minicamp. Felt like Chuck was throwing the ball deep basically every day. And then suddenly the first week of install came in and it dried up a little bit. I'm sure they were emphasizing the short passing game, the quick step, the three-step game a little bit more. But yeah, it was nice to see Hayner throw some deep balls to Olave. Obviously, Rattler took a couple shots. One of them got intercepted. One of them was caught for a touchdown by Mason Tipton. So, yeah, the offense is coming along. I also really appreciated the Velus Jones touchdown to end the day. It was
That was a nice run. Oh.
Yeah, 35 yards. I can't remember the last time a Saints running back went for a 30-yard touchdown. It was jarring to see that.
Well, Jeff, even though they don't take their running backs down, nobody was taking him down. That was a house call. You know, it could be that could have been a type play you see in a real preseason game, whether it be the Chargers, Jaguars, whoever. Where no, it's they tackling, but he made the right cut and he was gone. That would have been a touchdown.
Now the speed was legit. I didn't realize he was that fast.
Yeah, no, the speed was legit. There wasn't no catch. He wasn't going down. That's why I said that was the most impressive run. And obviously it's full pads, but I like that run. Well, I'm sure we'll see him again in a few carries in the preseason games. But Jeff, the one thing I noticed, like OTAs and minicamp, because they had a number of practices inside, and we play inside in the Superdome, and maybe it's just in my mind, but it seems like Tyler Shuck has always basically played well at a high level inside. I can remember some throws he's made in the inside facility, and I'm like, so I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I think they're going inside for sure. I think Tyler Shuck might get off. I mean, I'm just speculating.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point. And the Saints play most of their games inside, so that's not the worst thing in the world
right.
to be better inside. You know, it's a similar conversation with the kickers, right? Like,
yeah.
Blake, I think Blake Groupie's worst trait is, I don't think he handles the wind quite as well as I'd like him to. It doesn't really matter in the Superdome, and it's going to be the same situation. So, yeah, it would be interesting to see if Shuck goes out there and has a really strong day tomorrow, whether that is kind of a connecting factor to.
Jeff, looking at, and I've said this, I'm really confident what they've done with the safety position, even though Honey Badger has retired. I mean, I look at Justin Reed. I look at Blackman. I look at Terrell Burgess. A lot of experience, a lot of NFL experience there, and I kind of like it. And I thought it was interesting, Kellen Moore. You know, he's been pretty straightforward with the media. And he says he believes Blackman playing more on the back end at free safety, while Justin Reed lines up in the box. And, you got to be able to do both. And last season, Blackman played at free safety, had 7 interceptions over the past 2 years, played through an injury. So when I look at where we're at, this caught my attention. Who's coaching them? Okay, defensive backs coach Terry Joseph. He said Blackman participated in team's conditioning tests, and he blew it out of the water. After flying in from Utah that same day, I could do this condition the same day, and he blew it out of the water. That's a pro. That's a guy coming ready to play and contribute right now. When I read that, not every player is like that. And then Coach Joseph said he's a really smart player. And then you look in 2025, for any secondary player, the versatility is a key. This is what Coach Joseph said. Because you're going to play so many different kind of offenses that give you all these funky formations, different sets, we got to have guys who are not one-trick ponies. Guys who can play in the box, guys who can play deep, guys who can cover and have a feel, guys who can blitz. Well, no, Alante Taylor, he blitzes and he gets the quarterback down, not just the quarterback pressure. So you got to be versatile. So I appreciated that. And then you look at, I don't know, whatever they're doing in Utah to Utah Utes, they must be doing it right because you're playing in the NFL, the experience. Blackman also reunites with former college teammate Terrell Burgess. So I'm more concerned with the cornerback position and what's going to happen in the safety position.
But Kool-Aid had a pretty good day today.
Yeah, but, you know, okay, we'll see. We'll see. I'm telling you, if Kool-Aid could turn into Paulson and Debo, even though Paulson and Debo is kind of handsy, but Paulson and Debo had some explosive games. I think Kool-Aid definitely is a big hit. Because Paulson and Debo out of Stanford was a hit in a Saints uniform. That's what we thought at this time last year between him and Lattimore. Oh, I'm all right with the cornerback. It's one of the strengths of the team. You know, we talk about what's the strength of this team, the offensive line or whatever. So the jury's still out on the cornerbacks because with Kool-Aid, we hope, okay, work out. Alante Quincy. Taylor. No, Quincy, a rookie. Alante Taylor, he's the alpha now. He wasn't no alpha this time last year. He wanted him to fit in. So that's why I'm telling you, look at the whole secondary. I'm more worried about, Jeff might have a different opinion. I'm more worried about the damn cornerbacks and the safeties.
Yeah, you know, Julian's interesting. And, you know, the more you hear from him and the more you watch him, the more fortunate it feels the Saints were that he was available with right. Tyron retiring. Because it really just kind of fills that void perfectly with a player that you're not worried about his skill set. You're not worried about his experience. He has 61 career starts. You know, and the one of the most telling answers of, like, his mentality is, you know, we asked him, you know, why did you play through the injury last year? Why didn't you just sit down, let it heal? And he was like, well, the team asked me to.
Oh, amen. And who's against that?
I expected him to say something else. He was like, oh, and so I did, right? Like, that was the second part of that answer. It's like, the team asked me to, so I played through it. And I just think that's very telling of, like, who you are as a football player, because not everyone would be like that. And so he's a team-first guy. He goes way back with Brandon Staley. They know each other. Brandon loved him coming
Amen.
Out, wanted to draft him. The Colts ended up grabbing him before the Rams could pick. That was back when he was the defensive coordinator of the Rams, obviously. So, you know, it's a player that, you know, the coaching staff, the defense coordinator really likes. So he fits in perfectly. As far as Kool-Aid, you know, I've been really impressed with what Kool-Aid has done. And, you know, you put him across from somebody else, and I feel like you're in good shape. I just don't know who that somebody else is right now. Ike Adams there. I kind of feel like it's going to be him, but I haven't been super impressed with Ike to this point. He's been very handsy. You know, he was getting into battles with Rashid Shaheed today, and, you know, Rashid was winning through fouls, right? That's what impressed me about Rashid Shaheed.
That's right.
But, like, Ike was holding the whole way, and it's like, that's not a good look for a corner in a zone scheme, right? Like, it's not man anymore. You don't want to be as physical. So it's going to be something to watch. I think Quincy being a ball hawk is helpful to maybe get him on the field early in his rookie season. But, you know, he hasn't been perfect either. Like, it's easy to see the interceptions and then forget about, well, you know, you got burned on this play or this play. Like, it's kind of like sacks for a defensive end. If you get killed in the run game and you get three sacks, no one talks about you getting killed in the run game, but you're still getting killed in the run game. So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
You know, Jeff, you know who was outstanding in preseason and he made the team? I think I took a note on him today. And it wasn't necessarily a positive note. I have to look. I can't find it now. But Rico Payton. You know, he's 6 foot, like 185. And I look at Rico Payton. You know, like Pittsburgh State. You know, it's about name, image, and likeness where we're at now. Pittsburgh State. If you ask anybody in the country of Pittsburgh State, they think you talk about Pennsylvania. This is Kansas.
Nope.
Now, a powerhouse like Division II or whatever they are, Pittsburgh State.
But Gorillas.
Yeah, the Gorillas. Yeah, exactly. What about that mascot? How many people could say that we our mascots are the Gorillas? But Rico Payton.
Former Gorilla.
Rico Payton, to me, made this team in the preseason games. And what he did the latter part of training camp. So that'll be interesting to see going into the second season where he lines up with the competition. Look, Rajon Wright made a nice play today. And then you look at Isaac Gaetem and all. A lot of competition in that corner spot. And obviously how, if you're on the back end, you contribute on special teams. But where do you think Rico Payton's at? It's kind of like, it seems like, I don't know, when they've played preseason games, and it might be the second half, third or fourth quarter, I remember last year, it seems like you called his name a lot.
Yeah, you know, last year he was, I think, way behind the curve in terms of coming out of Division II, and I think that kind of caught everyone off guard when he did show up in those preseason games, and he developed so quickly that it was really impressive. So I'm hoping to see like another step forward this year in the preseason games. I don't know if we've seen it yet in camp.
Right.
What he has going for him is I think he's got special teams ace written all over him. I think he's your next JT Gray type player, genuinely. He's that good on special teams. So I think he's going to have a role on this team the same way JT Gray has a role on this team. And sometimes you see him out there as a safety, but he's not most often not going to be your first option. I feel like Rico's going to be in that kind of same mold, just at the cornerback position, because he's physical, he's athletic, you know, he's not afraid to get dirty, to stick his nose in, to hit. He's a guy that I think is probably going to make the roster, and he's going to be one of those carve-outs as a special teams contributor.
Jeff, always appreciate the time, man. Be seeing you at practice tomorrow. You can check out Jeff's practice notes as well as latest on Juwan Johnson's injury. Also has an article up right now about Rashid Shaheed, who's bulked up, showing why early in Saints camp he has been a stud. Jeff, thanks so much for the time, and have a good night, man.
For sure, y'all feel
all right. All right, Jeff. Yeah, I'll be in the air conditioner. It'd be nice.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter and WWL's digital content producer. Stepping away for this break. Be back with more Sports Talk right after this. Winding down shop here on Sports Talk, getting ready for a indoor practice tomorrow. I know we're excited, Cajun Cannon, but you mentioned as well that Tyler Shuck has looked better indoors, which is good too because we play in a dome. So maybe we'll have his best outing of training camp tomorrow.
Hey, I'm not against playing inside. Controlled environments. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have inclement weather. I mean, I was fortunate. I played in the Silver Dome in Michigan. Played in Louisiana Superdome. Played in the Georgia Dome. Mm-hmm. The only time I played outside was 1985 in the Oakland Alameda Coliseum. In the Bay Area, it was like nice, spring and summer. So, no, it does make a difference. You know, I ever told you this, Steve? The coldest game I ever played in, and I played in after a snowstorm against the Patriots, in Foxborough. The Buffalo Bills up in Buffalo. But, you know, when it snows, only 32 degrees. The coldest game I ever played in was in high school, 1977.
Not even in the pros.
No, Monroe, Louisiana. The coldest game I ever played in was in 1977 in Monroe. It was 18 degrees. Wind chill was like 11 degrees. So, I love a dome control stadium environment, and you're going to have that with Tyler Shuck in the inside facility.
That's a wrap, folks. We'll be back tomorrow with more of our training camp update. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the Hoodettes.
All right, Bon the Wheel. Let's y'all. Good night, people. Hoodette.